Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is El the Bazaar. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is End Time Global Link Ministry. I want you to get a hold of that. End Time. That's what the main subject. End Time Global. I mean, it's worldwide. Link Ministry. Ministry of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the one and only, the one that came from nowhere, that's everywhere. And since he could be everywhere, there was nowhere for him to come. He's eternal. He's everlasting. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Savior of the world. Ain't nobody else got a higher name than the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, which means what? God in the flesh, manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit. So glad to be with you this afternoon. Amen. We got some news. We got some good news. And we got some bad news for the devil. Amen. Satan, Lucifer, some real bad news for him. Amen. He don't want to hear it. Amen. But he's gonna have to answer to God one day, mainly him. And then man's going to have to answer for serving him. And anybody that want to serve the devil today and reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then they're going to have to spend eternity in hell with Lucifer. Amen. I don't like him, never did. Amen. I'm out to put him in his place through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to hell. Amen. And I tell you one thing, you don't want to go with him. And the world has nothing to offer you. Jesus said, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So glad to be with you. So glad to have Brother Tim with me tonight. Amen. I'm going to have prayer right now, and then I'm going to turn it over to him. Amen. And he's going to be with me an hour tonight. Amen. And I'm going to take it all the way in to the next hour. So I want him to go first. Amen. And break the bread of life, the living word of God. Let me tell you something. The Bible is an awesome book. Man, that book is awesome. Amen. And one thing the devil can't stand, he can't stand the word of God when it's preached in truth. He cannot stand it. He wants to eliminate the Bible. He wants to eliminate the Jewish people. He wants to eliminate the Christian era that we're living in now. And we're going to go into the word. We're going to have prayer right now, asking the Lord to anoint Brother Tim. Amen. Anoint this ministry. And our main goal of this ministry and the End Time Global Link Ministry is to win souls and warn the men, the boys, the girls, the liars, the cheats, the whoremongers. We are warning them, please, please repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy tonight. We ask you right now, whoever listening, Lord, to touch their hearts and to give them the unction of the Holy Spirit, that they will take aware of what the word of God says. And Lord, we thank you for the cross. For without the cross, there would be no hope for the world. There would be hope for no soul to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we know that, Lord, in your word in the Old Testament, you gave up lambs and turtle doves and all the sacrificial offerings, bullocks and all this to show an example, but it was not adequate enough to save the soul of man. So you came yourself. You came yourself and became a man, that through the man Jesus Christ, you died upon the cross for our sins and for remission of our sins, that we could have what? Eternal life, saved forever. And we thank you for it. And we ask you right now to go with Brother Tim. Let him break the word of life. In Jesus' name, I say to the church, amen. Brother, go ahead.
Amen, doctor. Amen. Amen. All glory be to the Most High God. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Amen. It's a blessing to be in the land of the living. It's a blessing to be back on the air. I've enjoyed my little time off. Amen. You know, sometimes you have to take those breaks. You got to push back a little bit from everything in life.
Brother.
Amen. I'm just going to keep it real. Amen. Some people have a problem with that, but they'll be okay, because you have to realize, amen, I'm man too. I'm human, too, and I deal with things just like everybody else. Amen. I have to take this life one day at a time so that I can handle it. Amen. So it won't be too much on this man. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to be here, brother. Amen. It's a blessing to be back. Amen. We're thankful for all our listeners. Amen. Throughout the weeks. Amen. We're hoping we're saying something to enlighten you. We're saying something that's saving men's souls, because that is our ultimate goal. Amen. Excuse me. To win souls for Christ. Amen. Nothing more. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Other to win. Amen, brother. Than to win souls for Christ. And I will tell you this, man. The devil is busy. When I tell you, man, my old man used to say when I was younger, ever since I was a kid, he used to always tell my older brothers and me this. He said, you know what? He said, the devil can't get to me, but he gets to me through you. And that is so true. The devil will always attempt to get to you through your loved ones. Amen. And so that's a lot of times he knows that you're in the Word. Amen. He knows you stay near to God and close to God. He knows he can't get next to you. So what he'll do, amen, he'll have somebody in your life that's not going to act right. They just, no matter what, they're just not going to do right. Amen. Let's just keep real. They're going to bring hell into your life. And because of that, that's the only way that the devil can get to you and to try to steal your joy, that he'll put somebody in your life, in your world, amen, that's close to you, that's near to you, that's dear to you, so they can try to steal your joy. Amen. But I'm here to tell the day. Amen, brother. Amen. I'm here to rebuke the devil. Amen. I know you do, brother. I know you do. Amen. We all have somebody that's close to us that we love, amen, that we care a lot about, but it just seems like they just won't get it together. Amen. No matter what you do, no matter what you tell them, amen, no matter how much you pray for them, it just seems like they just won't do right. And that's the devil. That's all it is. He knows that thinking that he can get next to you. Amen, brother.
Yes.
There's none but the devil. He knows he can get next to you because he knows that you love this person or this individual or these people, and he wants to get next to you. He wants to make life tough for you. Amen. He said, man, it don't take much for this person to be happy. Amen. He got joy in his life. He got God. He got Christ in his life. Amen. He's saving, loving people. Amen. He's spreading the gospel. But I'm here to tell you to hold fast, brothers and sisters. Amen. Because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But don't let him take your joy.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Don't let him take your peace. Amen. Because that's what he wants to do. Because peace is something that God gives the saints. Amen. Even in a time of trouble, he lets us know that he is here for us. Amen. With that being said, amen, we're going to get back into some of his teaching. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you, it's been very interesting out here the past couple of weeks just watching the world. Amen.
Yes, man.
And just watching things unfold before our eyes and to see, amen, people in the church still don't get it. People in the world still don't get it.
Come on,
amen. They don't see it. They don't see it.
They don't get it.
Mainly it's because they don't want to see it. As we said before, they are enjoying this life, and they don't want this life to stop. Man, Christ come back. Man, I'm telling you, folks is talking about they want Christ. They want him to wait. Hold on, don't come back yet.
Wait on. Yeah.
No, don't come back yet, man. I'm living too
good.
Don't come back now. Wait till
that's
things get bad. Amen. But that's not how it works. Amen, brother. I was just thinking and meditating today, amen, about this time that we live in. And I asked myself, I said, could it be that Christ could come back this year? Amen.
Come on.
I thought about it. I said, you know what? I said, you look at the world. Man is literally not looking because Christ, one of the things Christ said, he said to watch. He said,
watch.
Christ did it. He said it himself. He said, watch. Now, why would he say that? And then Paul said, and Christ said himself, he said, or I will come as a thief in the night. That means that when he comes, it's going to be unexpected.
Unexpected.
And you think about it now. Amen. The age and the time that we live in is unexpected because people are really doing good. Despite the war, despite the pandemic, people are doing very good. I told you I went to the bank. And the average person that I talk to has money in their account. Not everybody got money in their account, but I say over 50% of the people. Now, when I say they have money, I didn't talk about they're rich. I'm talking about some people can keep a consistent at least $500 in their account consistently from paycheck to paycheck. They got a little money put back. In other words, that if they want to go to the movies tonight, they can. If they want to go eat steak tonight, they can. If they want to go buy $100 to $200 pair of shoes tonight, they can. Most people in this country, amen, doctor, they live pretty good. We do. We live pretty well. Compared to the rest of the world, we live in America. We live pretty good. Amen. I can say that, man. When I look at people online, you look at those kids in third world countries eating out of dump yards and trash can yards. They have to scrabble through, raking through the trash just to find. And we got kids here in America. They so spoiled. If you talk about making them a meal, they don't want that. If you talk about going over, they want Chick-fil-A, they want pizza, they want Cane's, they want steak. Amen. Let's just keep it real.
That's right.
We live pretty good in the United States. Amen.
Yes, we do.
And so when you compare us to the rest of the world, we really don't have much to complain about. But yet,
come on.
Amen. I deal with people that have some of the most nastiest attitudes live in this country. And then you have people that say America is the greatest place on earth to live. That may be. Now, I'm not taking from that. It may be in your opinion. It may be somebody else's opinion may say, no, you know, I'm living good over here in Africa or in South America. I'm not saying that's left up to each individual to say, amen, what's the best place in the world to live, amen? But
come on.
The point that I'm getting at is that time is up. God is tired. Amen. Man has been ungrateful. We've had the opportunity to help our brothers, and we won't. There's no reason for children to be eating out of dump yards. There's no reason for people to be unemployed. The world is finite. And God knew what he was doing when he created heaven and earth.
Yes.
The universe, amen, doctor. The universe is massive. We couldn't even imagine how huge the universe is. In fact, it'll literally blow your mind if you try to put that in your mind, how huge the universe is. Man, I was talking to my brother last week, and I was talking to him about the star Sirius. There's a star called Sirius, like the radio Sirius, radio FM. It's spelled Sirius. Brother, you know about it. It's the largest star they say that you can see in the Milky Way. In fact, it is the brightest star in the Milky Way. If you had a strong telescope, when you look in the Milky Way, it is the brightest star. This star, brother, is so massive. It would take millions of our universe. Millions, you're not hearing what I'm saying, millions of our universe to fit in this star. That and a lot of you don't even conceive how big the earth is.
No.
So that lets you know how tiny we are to Yahweh. Our God is so great.
Lord,
he is so merciful. He is so awesome. And, brother, I tell you, when I tell you we got the victory, man, when the trumpet sounds, what
hallelujah
man or woman you are to be when the trumpets go off.
Damn.
Because you want to know what? God is tired. He's coming back to judge. See, people actually think this is a joke. They think because they can't see God coming back, right? They're just like, man, God, life is just too good. Why would God need to come back now? That's how people think. Why would he need to come back? Life is just too good for him to come back now. Man, let me tell you, God is tired of little children being killed. It's like every time I look up on YouTube or the news,
come
there's
on,
a baby being killed. Our baby is dying out here. I ain't just talking about just this war. See, there's more wars going on than just that. There's a war in the streets every day. Just the other night, people were telling me where I live, just up or some blocks away from my, they were shooting like crazy. The lady said they were emptying the rounds and the gun. I'm thinking to myself,
come
Lord
on,
have mercy. What is wrong with our society? We have
Lord
all this stuff. We have access to the great, the finest foods. We got heat in the wintertime. We got air in the summertime. We go get ice cream, brother. We can get out and grill in our yard. And, man, can't get along with their neighbor. Man, somebody look at you funny. You ready to fight. You ready to pull the gun. Man, people carrying guns like nonsense out here. Man has gotten so cocky. This is why God, I believe, has to come back. Man will eventually destroy himself. People are carrying guns, and they are itching to use them. I'm like, man, why does this person got a gun? It ain't. I thought people, brother, you ought to see they walk in the stores with gun on their hips. I just looked at them and said, that's just sad. Watching these, now you see if there are children in here. What are you so afraid of that you got your gun on your hip?
Come on,
this is the world that we live in. This is the world that we live in. This is why Christ said that in Revelation 3:10, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, because what's going to happen?
Come on.
And a lot of preachers don't want to talk about this.
Don't
want to
talk about it.
Strange things on this planet when there was unseen, unbelievable things. Me and a good friend of mine, amen, where I'm living now, I'm actually in West Texas currently, and he was telling me about these giants. And I said, yeah, brother, I said, the giants were real. The giants were in the Bible. He kind of began to talk about the book of Enoch. I said, yeah, brother, the book of Enoch is real too. I said, man, this is stuff that your average pastor won't even at least have a discussion about it at his Wednesday night Bible study.
Come on.
He won't even bring that up. To him, that's nonsense. Oh, that was back in ancient time. Man, what you don't know is that the governments of the world are aware that there are giants living on this. I'm not talking about Shaq. I ain't talking about Shaq. I ain't talking about Dirk Nowitzki and LeBron James. I ain't talking about them. They are giants. They are huge men. There are huge men walking around us right now every day that we see. There are huge football players that we've actually seen. I've seen football players around the DFW Metro, and those guys are huge. I've seen them coming out of stores. We see them at places and events. Those guys are big guys. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about giants that are – my friend was saying it this weekend. He came into town a bit. He said, man, they're a giant 15 feet. I said, yeah. In shock. I said, yeah, bro,
come on.
That's real. I said, scientists have found, they discovered those bones in the ground for hundreds of years.
Yes.
Here in Texas, there was a man here in Texas. He found a femur bone. A femur, you know, the femur is like from the knee to the thigh, to your hip, from the knee to the hip. They found a bone here in Texas. This was like not long time. This was like recent, like in the last 50 or 60 years, he found a femur bone. Brother, that bone stood almost tall as a man. That's crazy. You're not hearing what I'm saying. A femur bone over half the height of me. I'm almost 6 foot. It almost stood to about, they said, about to my chest. Where is this man at? That would be a – so if you put that body together, they said that wherever that bone came from, this being – was staying somewhere between 13 to 15 feet tall.
Come on, preacher, tell it.
They are aware that these things are on this planet right now and breathing today.
Right now.
Just because you don't see them, just because they ain't on CNN and in your local news talking about it, don't mean nothing. See, this is Satan's plan to keep all this stuff hidden, because he know when a trumpet sound, he know hell gonna hit earth.
Come on, preacher. Hell going to hit earth.
Hell is going to hit earth. And Lord, what manner of man or woman should you be at this day and time before the trumpets
come on?
We are watching this war unfold. Man, brother, I saw the president of Russia, Putin, is giving congratulations to the Ghanaian president. Why does this man have relations with Russia? We told you a few weeks ago, not even a month ago, we told you that Russia allies is hitting. And I told you before, I'm not saying all of Africa is going to get it because all of Africa is not going to join this war eventually. The Bible says Libya, and it's in the Bible. Look it up. It says Daniel.
Look it up.
And I think it's Jeremiah, I think. Or is it Isaiah? It's one of Ezekiel. That's where it is, Ezekiel. And the book of Daniel, it says Libya and Ethiopia. Those are African
Come
nations.
On. Yes, sir.
And don't you know back during the time of the Greeks that the Greeks, when
Come
they
on.
Talked about, when they spoke of Ethiopia, that they was referencing all of Africa? That's ancient history. Look it up.
Yeah.
I've known that since the 90s when I used to study ancient history. That's old. Ethiopia was once, Africa was once called Ethiopia to the Europeans. They would call the whole continent of African black Ethiopia, even though we know Ethiopia is just a small portion of Africa when you look at the total scheme of Africa. Brother,
yes,
I'm telling you, prophecy is unfolding before our very eyes, and we gotta stop acting like we don't see it. We got to stop acting like this is just a coincidence. No, brother. No, sisters. This is not a coincidence. This is Bible prophecy. This is revelation unfolding right before our very eyes.
Whoo! My.
I just want more of our men and women that's ministering to the world to speak on the return of Christ. You don't have to go in depth on revelation, but you need to shake up things and get your congregation, your members, your followers. It don't matter if they be 2 or 3 or if they be 2,000 or more. You need to start putting them in the mindset that, hey, get your house in order.
You know,
it's coming soon.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The king is coming.
The king is coming.
He is coming, bro. It's inevitable. And he's on our side. That's the thing about it. He's on our side. This is what we should be doing, is saving as many souls as we possibly can.
Get them ready.
We don't want to see nobody lost, but we know that the devil and his tricks and his game plan is to stick to his game plan to the very end. Hey, act as if nothing is going on. He's telling the so-called elite, act like everything is normal, when he knows that hell's about to hit this planet. Literally.
Come on, preacher.
We're going to get attacked from space, and we're going to get attacked from the gates of hell.
Come on. Lord, help
us. We got pastors that are so afraid. Oh, I'm afraid they ain't going to pay no more tithe. I'm afraid I'm going to lose some members. First of all, they're not your members to begin with. They're God's members and the kingdom. And it's our job to inform the people of what's about to take place. We can't make this stuff up.
Exactly, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not good enough to make this up. Amen. Let's just be real. I'm not good enough to make this up.
Come on.
The sealed book, Christ is going to unleash his wrath on the ungodly. And me and a friend, we were just walking and talking today. We were walking at the park, and we were talking about. He was talking about how you know, he just brought up a conversation about, you know, people. He said, "Man, this gay thing is getting out of hand." He said, "Man, these folks want people to apologize for every little thing." I said, "Man, ain't nobody apologizing for nothing, and people, the world ain't apologizing enough for slavery and the mistreatment of black people in this country or the black people on this planet. So we're not going to get into this apologizing thing. I'm not apologizing for how you choose to live. And if what I preach is against how you live, then you just have to deal with it. Because I ain't ever apologized for God's word. That's one thing I'm not doing.
Come
Amen.
On, preacher.
My job is to save your soul. My job
Hallelujah.
Is to preach your soul into the kingdom of heaven. Whether you give me a dime or not, because money don't matter to me when it comes to, I'm already paid as far as I'm concerned. Every time I open my mouth and I speak about God and give him the praise, I'm already getting paid. I'm getting paid in the spiritual where rust and moth and thieves don't break
Woo!
In. I'm already paid. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So God's going to give me far more work than what anybody got in their pocket on this planet. $1 billion can't pay for what I'm going to get. $1 trillion
Hallelujah.
Can't pay for what I'm going to get. $1 gazillion can't pay for what I'm going to get. Because soon, Sam, I'm going to receive immortality. I will get to live for all eternity. I'll never age. I'll never get tired. I'll never get sleepy. I'll never get weary. I'll never need glasses again. I'll never get sick. I won't have to deal with coughing, sneezing, a cold, a sore throat. I'll never hurt again. I'll never be in pain. No more back pain. No more knee pain. No more blood pressure medicine. No more none of that stuff.
Come on, preacher.
I'm human. I'm human just like you. I don't expect nothing more. You don't have to do it. I'm human. I deal with the exact same thing that a man would go out there and see and do. Amen? But I have
Come
to
on,
make
preacher.
A choice. I have to make a choice where I want to spend all eternity. So I change my life. I repent from my ways and walk in the way that I used to over 22 years ago. And I decide to give my life to Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Bro. And it's sad to preach to people that you know and love and to hear them say stuff like, oh, man, that stuff ain't going to happen. Oh, man. ain't gonna be no rapture of the church. Ain't gonna be no tribulation.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
All
we can do is tell you, amen, and pray for your soul that you be saved. Because again, we don't want no one to be lost. Amen. We don't
if you
have this opportunity to make it in before the trumpet sound. Why not take this opportunity? Why take a chance to be here on this earth when all this stuff happens?
Come on.
There's already war. We see the war already taking place. That war
is going
to spread.
It's coming.
It's coming. It's going to spread.
It's coming.
That war is not, that man's not going to stop.
No, he ain't.
He's not going to stop. And it's funny that now you begin to hear small talk. You begin to hear something about Israel in the background with this
yes,
war.
Yes, sir. Come on, preacher. Come on.
And I said, man, this is getting, this thing. See, I don't know about to y'all, but to us who really read and study the Bible, who study eschatology, who study Revelation, this is very, very interesting to us. I have to
listen to it
every day. I have to listen to things that are going on in the world every day because this is just something I can't pass. This is something we've been talking about. And I'm just going to be real with you, brother. I didn't see it coming in my lifetime. I just didn't. I thought maybe my kids or maybe I said more likely my grandkids, when they get my age, and I'll be long gone. I said, this is probably 2150 or 120, this stuff may happen. I'll be long gone. I'll have my grandkids be grown men and women at the time that this stuff will be happening. I'll be out of here.
Come on.
No, my dad used to
Come
say,
on,
hey, I'll be long gone by the time Christ gets here. I'll be long gone, my dad used to say. And lo and behold, we are here in 2022. 2022, the war started.
Yes,
and
sir.
And here we are.
Here we are
today talking about possible World War III. Now they're talking about
World
it. First they didn't want to say it. Now they're talking about it. World War III. Now there's nuclear talks of nuclear weapons. I didn't know Russia had more nuclear weapons than we did in America. I never
Come
did.
On.
I'm like, what?
That's right.
This man got more nukes than we got? I thought we
Chemical
had
too.
Nuclear weapons. Who?
Biological warfare.
Yeah. I said, man, and then America talking about sanctioning China and all this stuff. See, this is getting interesting. And this war is getting bigger. See, It's getting bigger behind the scenes before it actually happens. Just like the war started, it was bigger behind the scenes before it actually started.
Yeah.
Putin already
yes.
knew he was going to attack Ukraine. It was already big before it started because he already knew what he was going to do. It just manifested
Come on
2022. And now we see these things just manifesting in front of us. And a lot of people, as much as they want to go away, much as we all want the pandemic to go away, the war to go away, high gas prices, high grocery bills, high electric bills to go away, it's sad to say that it's not.
It's not going away.
And we've been saying this. Amen, brother. Amen. We've been saying, I'm going to give it to note, and we've been saying this since 2020. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Now, for us as a saints, we're good. As a saints, it's supposed to get great for us. Not good, for it's about to be awesome. About to be great for us because we're about to be caught up into heaven, and we're going to go and receive our rewards. We're going to be forever with God. The Father,
Thank
the
you,
Son,
Jesus.
The Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen,
brother. But for those that are left on the earth, that are scoffing at God, laughing at God, take this all for a joke. Oh, I mean, you ought to see the arrogance of people, man. The arrogance of people.
Yeah,
oh,
me.
Party. I'm going to sleep around. I'm going to do this. Oh, they're going to be gay. They're going to be lesbian. They're just the pride. See, they call it gay pride. And it ain't just gay pride. It's fornication pride. It's adultery pride. It's just the pride of me. I got money. You ought to hear the people I talk to. People are so, and I have to stop a lot of people because I don't let nobody talk to me crazy. I'm a king's kid. I tell my manager, I tell my manager's manager, and I tell my customer. I don't take nothing from nobody. This is just a job. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm an adult just like you are. And you got blood flowing through your veins just like I do. I've not taken nothing from nobody. But ever since I became saved, I don't believe it. I don't believe in letting people talk down to me because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I don't let nobody disrespect me because I'm not
That's
a disrespectful
right, bro.
I don't
That's
disrespect
right.
nobody. And I tell people, hey, I expect the same in exchange. You will respect me just like I will respect you, regardless of what your title
yes,
is, because I'm a man of God and I preach his word. And in my personal opinion, I have the most highest authority and degree in this country over any president, because what we teach and give has the power to give life for all eternity. What can anybody
Woo!
Else do?
Hallelujah, brother.
Man, don't get me
Hallelujah.
Started. Brother, go ahead. Brother, don't get me started.
No,
go ahead.
Man, you're a bad boy. You're a bad boy. I don't believe nobody
oh,
got the
Lord,
right
the Most High.
To try to down a man of God, because actually
That's
they're
right.
not down. They're down. They're trying to down God. You know,
That's
and,
right.
And if you give me some respect. I'm trying to show you how you can be saved. I'm trying to save your soul from a devil's hell. I'm trying to warn you that Jesus Christ is coming, whether you like it or not.
Come on,
and
doctor.
Just because he was born 20 years ago, you think God is going to hold out till you get 80 years old or 40,
mm-hmm.
60 years old? Well, God ain't waiting for nobody. If a baby is
Come
born
on.
Today. And the rapture happened tomorrow, God ain't going to stop the rapture for that baby to grow up. Amen. Because a lot
that's
of
right.
children that's born today are going to be the millennium that goes into the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. So what people want to do, see, they want to have fun and gung-ho and do what they want to do and have fun and go to church and come out of church. But they don't want to give their life to Christ. They ain't got time
that's right.
for Christ. But the Bible 2,000 years ago, I'm going to read this out of the scripture. Now, this is what the scriptures say. I'm not saying this. I'm not making this up. And the second book of Peter in the third chapter, it says this.
Come on, doctor.
The third chapter, the third verse, it says, knowing this
mm-hmm.
first, number one,
mm-hmm.
that there is to come in the what? Last days, scoffers,
mm-hmm.
fun makers. Oh, man, they trying to jack Christ up, man. They trying to tell
That's
Christ,
right.
man, all that on the cross, man, shoot, I don't need that crap, man. Look at me.
That's
I'm
right.
cool. And you get hurt by your own relatives. I love everybody. I love my relatives.
That's
I
right.
don't see none of my relatives go to hell. But let me tell you, they ought to give me respect on what I believe in, what I stand
mm-hmm.
for. A lot of people ain't standing for nothing. They just
right.
just want to tell God what to do and how to do it. And when it, and like the brother said, God is getting tired. I've been here 77 years, And you know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of singing. I'm just tired of hearing people getting killed.
Come on, doctor.
I'm tired of people getting raped. I'm tired of people
going to
church, half the form of dollars, and they ain't got no power. I'm tired of folks getting up trying to sing a song and get outside and cuss you out. I'm tired of preaching
Come
a whole boy
doctor.
And jiving around and telling folks, oh, you can just be good. You can go to heaven and just get paid my money. I'm getting tired of motivated speeches and ministers getting up not reading the scriptures out of the Bible and not explaining to the word of God. But listen what it says
right.
here. In the last days. But before the coming of Christ, they'll say, where is this? Where is, I'm going to tell you how the devil thinks. Where is this clown called Jesus? Because the devil want to put Jesus as a clown and don't want to identify him as knowing that he is God Almighty. So when he,
when he grips
a hold of the human race, he wants the human race to down. He wants to put Christ underneath their feet. But Jesus Christ says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Woo! Let me tell you, if you don't want to go to heaven, you don't have to go. Ain't nobody making you go. Ain't nobody shoving the gospel down your throat. If you don't want to listen to it, you don't have to listen to it. And if you don't want me to explain what the scripture says, and you walk around with your head all puffed up, telling there ain't nothing to it, I don't even want to talk to you. Because I can't talk to a hard-headed. I can't talk to somebody stubborn. I can't talk to somebody self-willed. And let me tell you something. You ain't going to heaven off of your religion. You ain't going to heaven off your mom and daddy. You ain't going to heaven off of nobody but Jesus Christ. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in these last days, listen to what it says. It says, they're saying this. Fourth verse, it says, and sin, where is the promise of his coming? Y'all been talking about this thing for 2,000 years. 2,000 years, 57 years I've been preaching this gospel, 22 years Brother Tim's been preaching this gospel, and we preach it over and over and over and over, and don't change, and over some more. I'll be preaching it when I lay down in my grave. I'll get up out of my and still preach it. You can't change it. You can steal my joy. Wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your
That's
victory because
right.
I got victory through Jesus Christ. I got
That's
victory
right.
when I lay down at night. If I was to die, I know the angels would come and get my soul and take me on to glory. And I'm not going to leave earth because I want to talk to somebody. I want to tell somebody don't go to hell. I want to tell somebody that Jesus Christ came down for 42 generations, took him 4,000 years to get here.
Right.
And guess what? He came 4,000 years, and he came. He said he was going to come. To do what? To die for humanity. He promised. He promised Abraham. He promised Jacob. He promised the patriarchs. He promised the prophets. He promised the seers. He promised the world that he was going to come down here and die for you. And guess what he did? He did it. And when he did it, they still didn't believe it. They still rejected him. And he said, now look, I'm going back. And if I go back, I will absolutely come again. And when I come this time, I'm not going to be born in a manger. The east ain't going to come and see me. The west ain't going to come and see me. I'm coming to them. And guess what? If you read your Bible, you better read your Bible, man. You better read Revelation 19, chapter 11, verse. It tells you exactly how Jesus Christ is coming back the second time.
That's right.
And he ain't coming back to play no pinochle. He ain't coming back to play no strip poker. He ain't coming back to play nothing but what? And give the world the truth. Listen how he's going to look when he comes back. He's going to come back dressed in diadems. He's going to come back in a robe of. He's going to come back with the eyes of flame of fire. He's going to come back with a mouth sharper than any two-edged sword. He's coming back on a white charger. Good God Almighty. Oh, talking about riding. Guess who he's coming back with? Woo! He's coming back with what? The church. The church. Not the Baptist church, man. And I'm a Baptist myself. But see, the Baptist didn't die for me. I was raised a Baptist. My dad was a Baptist preacher. My mother was a Methodist. But that Methodist and the Baptist didn't teach me. It was Jesus Christ in my mom and my dad that taught me the what? The word of God. the word of God, the word of God, until I got old enough and I had a choice to choose the word of God or choose the world. And guess what? I chose Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here today, because I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know it. I know it. If I wasn't born again, if I didn't get saved at a young age, if I would have been a sinner until I get 95, I wouldn't have never lived 95. Woo! And some people don't realize, amen, if you're 50 years old, 30 years old, it's the grace of God that you're walking on the face of this earth.
Amen.
And people are so unholy. Never thank God, never pray over the food, never go down
That's
on
right.
their knees at night. Never get up in the morning and say, praise God, thank you, Jesus. You've been so good to me. Just get out the door and go on to the job and make the little money and come home and pay the bills and then go to a little church service and come back home talking about, I'm living for the Lord. You ain't living for the Lord. You're trying to jive yourself. You're trying to jive God. But what God wants, he wants holiness. He wants righteousness. He wants separation from sin. And the only thing that can separate your soul from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen what this modern generation is saying. The modern generation is saying this. He said, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers had fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You mean to tell me he ain't came yet? And the fathers that fell asleep, who's our fathers? Our father Abraham, father Jacob. Look at Isaac, Jacob, all the patriarchs. Look at all those Bible patriarchs that gone and died, and they're gone, and now the world is still going on. Don't you know that God is the everlasting God, and he keeps those that love him. He keeps those that fear him. He keeps those that really want to serve him. But they're asking the question, since the fathers have fell asleep, it's showing you that I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're coming from. If you die tonight, the world ain't going to stop. Good God Almighty. I don't care how you are. Our people think they're so important that the world can't turn. Some think they're important that the church can't be built. Some think they're important that nobody can rebuke them and correct them. Some people think they're important that
That's
they
right.
tell me they want to try to be like God. They try to act like God. They try to rule God. But let me tell you how big you are. I'm going to tell you how big you are. Let me get some more scriptures up in here. Amen. Because I don't want y'all to be going away saying I'm making up this stuff. In the book of Isaiah, 40th chapter, I'm going to show you how big you are. I'm going to show you how big I am. Listen. Listen to what it says. It says, have ye not known? Have ye not? Let me see. 40th verse, 21st chapter, and the 22nd chapter. It says, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Had it not been told to you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is said, it is he. What you talking about? I'm talking about the he's of the he's. I'm talking about the hymns of the hymns. I'm talking about the creator. I'm talking about the maker. I'm talking about the deliverer. I'm talking about the census taker. I'm talking about the doctor. I'm talking about the one that made the heaven and earth. He said, it is he that sitteth upon the circle. In other words, God is sitting on his throne, and when he looks at earth, it's like a circle because it's a round celestial ball. He looks at it, and he says, I look at the earth, and he says, the inhabitants. Who's the inhabitants? Inhabitant is me. Inhabitant is you.
That's right.
Inhabitants are 1 billion people.
Come on, doctor.
1 billion people on the earth. What do we look like to God? The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, he said, the inhabitants thereof is as grasshoppers. We're like grasshoppers,
right.
jumping around, moving around, doing what we want to do. And God said he stretched out the heaven as a curtain and spread them, heaven as a curtain, and spread them out as a tent to dwell in the earth.
Amen.
Let me tell you, man, think he's big dignitaries and preachers and football players and basketball players and all these high-class folks that think they're so big. When God looks at you, you look like a little old tiny green hopping grasshopper hopping around, don't even know what you're going, don't even want salvation through Jesus Christ, don't even want to live a holy life. And you talking about when you die, let me tell you, heaven ain't going to stop. The stars are not going to fall from heaven. Good God Almighty. They tell me the birds
That's
are
right.
not going to quit chirping. They tell me the worms are still going to come out the ground. Ain't nothing going to change if you die. So when you die, It's appointed for once for you to die, and after death, it will be the judgment. And there are two judgments. There's the judgment of the righteous, and there's the judgment of the wicked. And if you got, if you die, look here. If you die without what? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh, walked among men, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, turned water to wine, fed with two fishes and five bottles of bread. Come on now, talk to me. Went down to Golgotha's Hill. Woo! Before he got to Golgotha's Hill, he stopped by Gethsemane. Yeah. And in Gethsemane, they tell me he met sin. Woo! He felt sin. He tried to tell to his father's father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. Whoa, this was a trying time, and this was the greatest, oh, my God, this was the greatest event that God himself had to face. He had to face death, hell, and the grave, and he had to face it in a human body. Ooh, good God Almighty. He had to become man that he could feel sin, know what sin is. He hated sin so bad, he hated until he said, the only way that I can save man, I got to die for man. And here man walking around here talking about, I don't need that sacrifice, man. Man, I'm big bad. I'm Mr. Big, man. Look what I got. I got all my women. I got all my money. I got all the materials in the world. And, man, I'm living like a king. Jesus Christ can't come now. Preachers are talking about, oh, my Lord, I don't want to get into Revelation. That's not for our time. Well, you a lying wonder. You ain't nothing but a raw-headed, stupid devil. If this is not time for the Lord of Jesus Christ to come back, then I'm a liar. And if I'm a liar, I'm coming from the word of God. And if God's word is true, then God is a liar. And the Bible says God is true. And let every man be a what? A liar.
That's right.
So men are lying today, and they're lying on God. They're lying on themselves. They're lying. And they're lying to try to get to heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you lie against God and deny the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, and you leave this world where I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb and been able to shout in the blood of the Lamb, guess what? If you die without Jesus Christ, you're gonna bust hell wide open. And I'm not saying that in anger. I'm saying they're there to rebuke you and put some fear in you to let you realize God ain't playing. God ain't never played marbles with you.
That's right, Bobby Stoy.
He ain't never told me to go down there and play hopscotch and fool around with his word and tell folks a bunch of liars. He said, if you lie, all liars. That's what the Bible said in Revelation 21 and 10. All liars will be cast into the lake of fire. Brimstone. Now, let me tell you, I've been saying that. If you want to get mad at me and you want to stone me, come on. Come on, devil. I know really it ain't you. It's the devil in you. And if you got in you, you want to listen to the word of God. If you know that you know you haven't been born again, you got a devil.
That's right.
If you remember the devil of denying and procrastinate, putting yourself off tomorrow, I'll get him tomorrow. I'll pick up Jesus tomorrow. I'll pick up Jesus. I feel like I need him. Well, at the time that you do need him, you ain't going to find it. He said, there's a day coming when people going to be calling on the name of the Lord, and he ain't going to hear. And then there's another scripture saying, whoever call up the name of the Lord shall be saved, because the world don't know exactly what's going to happen today. And since they don't know what's happening, they don't believe it's going to happen. But listen to what it says. It says in the book of Peter, it says, for this they are willingly ignorant, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world was being overflowed with water, perished. The flood perished the first advent, the first interruption. That's the second interruption. No, I'm sorry. The first interruption is when God came in the Garden of Eden. The second interruption is when Noah and the flood. The third interruption is when Sodom and Gomorrah, God interrupted to save people out of sin.
Amen.
He saved Noah and his family out of sin. He saved Lot and his family out of sin. Why? because he knew that they had faith in him, and they escaped Sodom and Gomorrah. They escaped the flood. And people today are laughing, joking, people getting on TV telling
Bible jokes.
People don't turn the Bible over and collected enough dust on it to make a man out of the dust that they let it set so long. They don't want to read the Bible because when you read the Bible with the Spirit of God in you, it'll put a terror in you. It'll put a fear in you that God has made plan and you ain't big enough to even think about whooping God. You ain't big enough.
Amen.
You ain't rich enough to try to buy God out. Ooh, you ain't cute enough.
Right.
Amen. To think you can set these more people. God, you know you got that strong. You got that for old Lucifer, Slewfoot, because he's roaming today the earth, and he's tearing up families. He's tearing up a youth. He's tearing up pornography. He's got young girls out here. My God. People don't know what's going on behind the curtain. He got an old man taking 5 and 6 year old girls, raping them, selling them.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
People need to quit. The government ain't but a bunch of whoremongers. And the women that's in government, they ain't but a bunch of whoremongers going under the sky of Christianity, and ain't but a bunch of liars. And if you don't believe it, read the Bible. Read the 13th chapter. Read the 17th chapter of Revelation, where you see this scarlet woman up on a scarlet beast with a golden cup in her hand, looking good, fine as wine. The board of health had to put her out because she's so sharp. And the world is lusting after. The world is going to whoring after. And they tell me this woman looks good on the outside. Boy, you talking about good looking. She had the right leg. She had the right breast. She had the right cup. And she had in the cup full of abomination and filthiness of the earth. The world is filthy today, church. And the church is joining up with the world. The church is doing what the world is doing, calling themselves Christians, calling themselves sanctified, calling themselves serving the Lord, and ain't serving nothing but themselves because they don't have a testimony. And you say you don't have a testimony that you've been changed and called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. You can't even sing Amazing Grace no more. People don't even sing it no more. They say Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, blind, but now I see. And they still blind, trying to sing a song that they haven't experienced what it is to see the life of Christ and what he set an example for us and what he done for us and want to live for him, want to be what? Want to be a pipeline for God Almighty. And I want to let you know, Brother Timothy is a pipeline for God. Amen. I'm a pipeline for God. I'm going to let the Spirit of God run through my veins that I can tell somebody about this living water because the world ain't got nothing to offer you. The world ain't got a dime to offer you. And people are hauling in, pushing their ways to hell. They say, man, I don't care if I go to hell. My friend's going to be there. Well, if your friend's going to be there, y'all ain't going to be able to have a conversation. You ain't going to be able to do nothing. You ain't going to be able to do but kneel and cry out. And I don't know. I don't know. Lord Jesus, y'all got to help me tonight. Amen. If Brother Tim witnessed to somebody and they spit in his face and turn their back on him, and if he don't take that note that he needs to be saved and he die and go to hell, I'll tell you one thing. He's gonna remember Brother Tim. I bet you he do.
Amen.
Whatever I witness to somebody and tell him, preaching on this radio, preaching on this internet, and you hear my voice, I guarantee you, if you don't hear the word of God, I ain't talking about hearing me, because I ain't got nothing to say. The only thing I got to say, I say it through Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that's giving me something to say. I can't talk about football, basketball, and how much money I got. That ain't what you want. I got to talk about Jesus Christ and his soul salvation, that he came all the way down here from glory to save a wretch like me. You know, let me tell you this. I was thinking last night how people were saying Amazing Grace. Now, they would say, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. I once was saved, but now I'm lost. Blind, but now I can't see. That's messed up. That's messed up. And if you know Jesus Christ and he takes you and bring you out of darkness into the marvelous light, Brother Tim, you can't say nothing but hallelujah. I can't
Amen.
Say nothing but hallelujah.
That's right.
I can do nothing but praise God all day long. Why? Because the tribulation period, and I'm going to give it over to the brother. I know he got to go to work, but, man, I tell you, I'm enjoying him tonight, what he brought up. But let me tell you something. Amen. The tribulation
Amen.
Period is almost his, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
It's almost
yeah.
This is the last. I done told you once before, and I tell you again. And like I say, if they were buried tomorrow, woo, and they put me in the graveyard, I tell you one thing, I would have to get up and tell you, I'm still here. I'm still
Amen.
Here. He's right in this generation. Why? Because this is absolutely, definitely the last generation. When do this generation end? This generation ends in 2229. Put that
yes,
on your
sir.
You got to put that down. Write that down. 2229. 80 years. That's one generation. That's one generation. That's a full generation. And this generation started in 1948. And Israel has been on this. Israel has been a nation since 1948. That's 70 years. And at the end of 2029 will be the conclusion of 80 years. And Jesus Christ said, this generation shall not come to an end until the word of God fulfilled. And in 2029, Jesus Christ will bust the sky open. And I ain't saying wow. that's a date. I'm talking about the month, brother. I'm talking about the feast days of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the seven feast days, and there's three more left, and all four of the first four have been fulfilled. There's only three more to be fulfilled, and it's got to be fulfilled in this last 7 years of tribulation period, which is yet to come, which is not far away, because there's going to be a war of Gog and Magog. Woo! And that's what they're setting up right now. Putin is going to make an attack on Israel.
Come
because
on,
Iran is already picking at Israel.
Come
and
on,
Iran
doctor.
Is picking at, and by Iran picking at Israel, Israel's going to have to do something to keep them from bombing Jerusalem. And Putin said, I'm not going to bomb Jerusalem. I'm going to take my horses. I'm going to take my men. I'm going to take my shield. I'm going to take my bows and arrows. And I'm going to go down and pick up Libya. I'm going to pick up Ethiopia. I'm going to pick up Egypt. I'm going to pick up all the nations. And then I'm going to go to the east and look at China and say, China, I need your help. Come on. Let's go down to the holy mountain of God and overthrow Jerusalem, and there we can rule the world. That's what Putin
That's right.
is trying to do. And folks is as blind as a bat, trying to fly backwards. He can't see. Don't want to see. If they see, I'll tell you one thing. Revelation will straighten your backbone up. Woo!
Amen.
Straighten your backbone up. And some folks' backbone is so crooked they can't even look right, talk right, live right, and do what
Man.
God has called them to do. And that is to live
Come on,
for
God.
Him. But no, you don't want to live for God. You want to live partly for God and then live over there on the other side in the wilderness. But let me tell you, you can't serve two. Good God Almighty. Give up one and serve the other, or serve the other and give up the one. There ain't no two straddling the fence in this here walk. Either you
That's
are
right.
going to be a Christian, or either you're going to be an old sinner. And the
That's
world
right.
is they say, excuse me, I'll be a sinner, man, because I ain't taking that nature of Christ. I don't want that love of God. But let me tell you this, and I'm going to give it right to the brother because it's getting too good. It says this, no love is more true than the love of God. God's love is real. And one thing that will exist in heaven forever and forever and forever is love. Woo! Good God Almighty. There ain't gonna be no
That's right.
ain't gonna be no
That's
segregation
right.
in heaven. Come on, preachers. Come on, white folks. Come on, black folks. Come on, Chinese and Japanese. Come on. Jesus Christ unites his church, one and all together, one mind, one spirit, one Holy Ghost, woo, one baptism, one heaven. And I'll put on the bottom one hell. And a lot of people say, well, I'll take hell.
Mm.
And Jesus said, and I'm going to give it to the brother, but I do want him to call the altar for me. I want him to call the altar and let you know, don't be a fool. There is going to be a world war.
Yes, and it is.
This world war will start. Listen to me real quick. I'll say this one. This world war will come to a head in the next 5 months. Because he's got to work his way on that. He's got to go through those mountains. But when the rapture of the church comes and millions of people will be missing from the earth,
yeah,
then Russia will be capable enough of gathering these armies together to come down upon Israel. The church of the living God will not, cannot, impossible to be here. Because God is going to close the gospel kingdom with the Jews of 144,000, and he's going to close the gospel of the kingdom with two witnesses at the end of the last 3.5 years. So let me tell you, preachers out there and the Bible scholars and the unique degrees and all these degrees that you got, and you teaching that the church, the body of Christ, is going to go through a suffering, because it's going to be a hell on top of hell on top of hell.
Sure.
These UFOs and these scorpions and these demons are going to infiltrate it and invade the earth. And at the same time, the gospel is going to be preached by the Jewish people to close it.
That's right. You need
to know Jesus. Brother, go ahead and open that altar up for me.
Amen, Doctor. Awesome word. Amen. 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 I want to share with you all, amen, Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. If you're listening, you're hearing us, you're saying, man, I've never heard this. And I know now, you know, according to what Daniel said, that knowledge will travel to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. That's twofold. That's spiritual knowledge and worldly knowledge. We have so much information at this time. Information travels faster than any other time in our history in the last 6,000 years, as far as we know, since the Garden of Eden. We are here. We're not about to get there. We are here. No doubt about that. Amen. We are here. And so we want you to become saved. You're listening. You're saying, man, how can I escape this? You know, aliens coming to the earth, demons, aliens coming down, and demons are coming up. How is this? How can we escape all this? You know, you're saying there are giants roaming around, the government's high. How can we escape? See, that's what the question you need to ask. Amen. How can I miss all this? How can I escape all this? Amen. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. We're going to go there real quick and take a look. Amen.
Amen, Romans, brother.
The 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And I want to point out, I want to get straight to it to show you all you have to do. I know people have been taught and trained. I've been talking to people for 22 years. I know the Reverend been teaching for over 55 years now. Amen. That's a huge blessing. Amen, brother.
Amen. God bless
you. That's a huge blessing. Let me show you what it says. It says, Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10, this is the plan of salvation, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, amen, Yahshua, amen, Jesus,
amen, brother,
and shalt believe, amen, thine heart, that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I know that we all come from different backgrounds and different teachings. I pray that you do your own study and research, but don't let it delay your salvation. Receive Christ today, whether you believe in once saved or always saved or not. You go ahead and receive your salvation today, because what's important is that when the trumpet sounds, or when you close your eyes on this side, that you know where you're going to be for all.
Come on.
That's all that matters. Amen. The rest don't really matter. Amen. I mean, we can debate all we want. But like I told one brother, I said, man, at the end of the day, what really counts is that you receive Christ, that you receive salvation. Because I don't want nobody to be lost. Amen. I want to make that perfectly clear. I don't want to hinder nobody's salvation from entering to the kingdom of heaven. I told the pastor that
one
time.
Thank you, Lord.
I said, but I don't argue in front of the churches or in front of people. I don't give the devil that type of entertainment. The hour is too late and too close. We got too much work to do to be arguing over who's right and who's wrong. The main thing is this. I want you to receive Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And that is salvation. That I do know. If you want to enter into the as we used to say, the pearly gates, the heavenly gates,
come on,
you want to go in to see the new Jerusalem. You want to see paradise. You want to see the angels of heaven, the cherubims, the seraphims, and all the hosts of heaven. You want to see how beautiful heaven is. You want to see how beautiful the new heaven is and the old heaven. You want to hear sounds that we never even could imagine that exist.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. Musical instruments, musical sound that you can't even imagine your wildest dream. You think the stuff we listen to now is jamming. This stuff ain't nothing compared to what's in heaven. See, that was the angel was saying to Enoch. He said, man, I don't know what they were thinking, but they think they got something. They don't even have nothing. There's a lot of good stuff in heaven, a lot of good knowledge that they don't have.
Man.
Amen. That we will get
it.
To enjoy. And all you got to do to receive that is simply read Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Watch this. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. You can try to add something to it. The Bible ain't add nothing to it. The Bible ain't said none of the stuff that most of you supposed to be out here saying. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you're saved, and that's it. That's all you have to do to get saved. I don't listen to all these folks out here talking about, you got to do this. Oh, but you know you got to do that. Oh, but the Bible didn't say that. So all don't be
don't
adding to the Bible. Amen. Don't add to it. The Bible ain't said all that. Amen. Man has added all this extra stuff. Talking about all, you know, you got to do this and do that. God ain't never said that.
No,
I
he
just
did.
Try to wonder sometimes. Amen. But I try to wonder, where do they get all this stuff? And
what
I ain't never read none of this stuff in the Bible. I said, man, where are they getting this stuff? Because the Bible ain't said you got to do this and do that and that and this. Bible ain't said that. Bible said, if you simply confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. That's where I want to go. I want to go and be with that God. I want to go with the God that keeps everything easy and simple. See, everything was easy for Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, look, all you got to do, let me tell you something about God. God made it so easy for him. He said, see all these trees over here? See all this right here? This is yours. You do what you want.
Yeah.
But these two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, don't touch the tree. See all these? You got hundreds and thousands of fruit trees and all kind of delicious fruit. You can have that. And I know some people want to get technical and say, oh, well, it wasn't really actual trees and stuff. Well, okay, well, you can get technical if you want. That's fine. I get it. But the point I'm making is that God made it simple for Adam and Eve. He, whatever it was, he told them, these two things you don't have nothing to do with. Don't touch them. But this over here, all this right here, see, all of this is yours. Man, all they have to do is just follow his instruction, and the world would be in chaos that it is in now.
Come on now.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all God wants you to do. Okay? So,
amen.
God ain't made nothing hard. Man makes it difficult. See, the let me correct that. The devil makes it difficult, and he's taught man how to be difficult and make it difficult when it's totally unnecessary. Well, God said, I ain't never said to do that. All I want you to do is just serve me. God can make it simple. He does. Amen. He makes it simple. So that's salvation. So if you want to not be here when all this and all this stuff hits the earth, you can miss it. This is the perfect time. I mean, I told my friend the other day, this is the perfect time, brother, to miss it. Get your family and friends ready. Get your one that's near and dear to you. Get them ready. All you got to do is believe. And he said, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That's the God I want to serve. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Now, I want to share a few more scriptures with I don't know if I better get it in 6 minutes, but I want to squeeze this in if I get back to the brother.
Well, no, you want to take your time.
Amen, doctor. Amen. What should we be doing now? Now, you said, brother, okay, I've been hearing you for weeks. I've been hearing you and the Watchman on the Wall, Elder Bazaar, for 2 years. I've been hearing y'all. Y'all say, okay, I got it. I ain't confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart. I am saved. I got salvation. I go to bed at night. I can sleep easy. I go to work. I go to and fro. I ain't got to worry about if I'm going to go to heaven now, because I know that I'm going to heaven. That's great. That's awesome. That's what we love to hear. That's what I'm glad that you understand. Amen. Now, watch this. You say, well, what do I do now? So the first thing you need to practice is godliness. First of all, you need to practice love, which is part of godliness. Amen. Because God loves, and that's what we want to do. We want to show as much love to our neighbors as we possibly can. Smile at people. Speak to people. Be nice to people. Love them. Amen. Because let me tell you something. With the Holy Spirit flowing through you and with God's Spirit is flowing in you, you can't help but to show love.
Come on
I
now.
I tell people all the time, man, if you want to spot a person that ain't saved, watch a person that don't show no love. I don't care how long they've been in church. They don't know how to show no love. And they just cold-hearted and mean and ugly? Nah, you can't be like that all the time. Something ain't right. You got to check yourself. Amen. Go
Amen.
On.
Amen.
Second Peter. I'm going to try to see if I can get this in. Amen. I know I got to talk a little bit.
Take your time.
Second Peter, the third chapter. Let's read and see what it says. Second Peter, third chapter. I believe the brother was just here. And I'm going to look at verses 11 and 12. Watch what it says. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, verses 11 and 12. This is what it said. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What things? Heaven and earth, all this earthly thing, all the wealth, all the rich people, all the houses, the cars, the money, the clothes, the men, whatever you can think of, it's not going to be here. It's going to pass away, basically. What now? Of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness. Don't be out here talking about people and downing people. Pray for people. That's love. Pray for people. That's the one thing I've always noticed about church people. The church people love the gospel and talk about one another. Pray for people. We're all doing the best that we can. Me and Elder Bazaar, don't down us. Don't talk about us. Pray for us. We're doing the best that we can.
Amen.
Amen. My wife's going to take me to a nice, fancy restaurant tonight, and I said, I got to get on the air tonight. Amen. And, you know, it kind of got a little heated between us, amen. But that's just the way it is when you're in ministry. Amen. Because sometimes we understand and sometimes we don't. You know, she wanted me to go. I want to go too, but here's the thing. We make sacrifices
Amen.
As ministers. Amen. We
Amen.
Make huge sacrifices. There's a whole lot of things I could be doing 3 nights out of the week instead of coming on here for an hour and a half to 2 hours preaching the word. I could be spending time with my wife and kids. Amen. But there has to be give and take. And I say, you know, we can go tomorrow night. Amen. See, So sometimes you just have to do those things. Now, I was off for the past 3 weeks, and I spent time. We had family events going. I didn't want to miss them because usually I do miss. I said, no, this time I spent some time with the family, and, you know, I'm going to go to enjoy some friends. They had a friend that came from out of town. And so, you know, that's just what I did. And so this is give and take when it comes to ministry. We deal with a lot. I tell people we deal with just as much as you guys deal with, if not, maybe even more. I don't know. But we do the best that we can. Pray for us. Pray for me as I pray for you. Pray for the brother, amen, Elder Bazaar. Pray for him. Pray for me. We study. We put in work into this thing. And it ain't easy because we want to do the best that we can. So we do the best that we can to rightfully divide God's word. Because why? For one, because he's looking, he says high, look low. He wants us to do this right. He don't want us to give wrong information. No, that's not what we're out here doing. We do the best that we can because we love the brothers and the sisters in Christ. Amen. So verse 12,
amen.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Did you see them? Let me say it again. Looking for. We are supposed to be looking for Christ. This is why we're on here speaking. We're talking about what we thought. Every single day, the brother told me today, he said, the king is coming. I said, he said, the king is still coming. I said, but I know the king is still coming. I'm looking for Christ. Especially with all this stuff going on, it can happen any minute. Between now and October this year, the trumpets could sound. Amen. Preferably, it could be in September this year. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. Amen.
Yeah.
But they don't mean that we don't have an idea of the season. See, why would he say looking for? Hasting unto the coming of the day of God, where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved.
Yeah.
And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. See, we are supposed to look for God. That's why he told us to look. Now, if we wasn't to have a clue to where we may be close, why would he tell us to watch? Why would he tell us to look? Because the Spirit speaks to us, and God gives us. He said, hey, I told you the signs and the seasons, the times and the seasons. I showed it to you. We got to be watching. Not out here giving motivational speeches. Not out here
on
the hill with oil and telling them, oh, you're going to be a millionaire one day. I've heard it all in church. Oh, this is going to happen. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be true. The Bible says despise my prophesying. But what we are to really look forward to is the return of our Lord and Savior. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I got to read verse 13. Watch it say. It says, nevertheless, according to his promise, look for what? Look for new heavens and new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Brothers in Christ, I don't know about
you,
but man, I look forward to the day to where it's just nothing but perfect peace and righteousness. No more killing, no more children being shot, no more children being taken advantage of, no more kids being kidnapped, killed, women being beat. They are beating women like crazy out here. And I'm serious. They are beating, man. We know so many people, and we know people just around us, and it's like, this is sad. Why would these men be doing these women like this? No more of that. No more killing, no more pain, no more suffering, no more evil. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day.
Amen. Amen,
godliness.
Brother.
Amen. We're talking about godliness. This is how we should live because this is how we're going to live for all eternity. We should be practicing that now. Amen.
Practicing, amen.
Okay? Making it a habit. Because why? You're going to get spiritual reward for your lifestyle. Let's take a look at sincerity. Go to Philippians. Amen. I do have to go ahead and shut it down because of the time I went over. But I'm going to show this one last verse and I'm going to turn back over to the brother. Amen, brother. Amen. Philippians 1:9-10. Well, but I look forward to that day to where I don't have to get up and go to work and deal with people. I'm just going to be honest and truthful with you. Amen. Philippians, the first chapter, verses 9-10. This is what it says. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Amen. I'm going to shut it down there. But I got to read verse 11. I'll throw verse 11 there as a nugget. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Amen. Y'all know what the fruits of righteousness is, which are by Yahshua Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Amen.
A beautiful thing Amen. If you want to know the fruit of love, if you want to know the fruits of righteousness here, just simply visit Galatians, the sixth chapter, and it's verses 22 and 23. That's the fruits of righteousness. Galatians, the sixth chapter, verses 22 and 23. This is also called the fruits of spirit of the Spirit. Amen. But this is the fruits of righteousness. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is what we strive for, church. And if you don't see some of this stuff in the people that you're around, they call themselves Christians or believers or Christians, whatever title you want to take, and you say you believe in the Most High God, Yahweh, if you don't see some of this stuff, you should be doing some of this stuff. You shouldn't just be ugly all the time and just talking bad about people, just mean and ugly all the time. I'm just not going to say that person, in my personal opinion, don't have salvation. I don't know what they got. We got the devil's what they have. I just couldn't see a person like that having, they don't have no sincerity about themselves. You got to be sincere. Amen. I love my wife.
Amen.
I love my kids. Trust me, I do. But there are times where I'm called to do the ministry of God. I'm called to serve the people of God. Amen. And I have to do that because why? I love God and I love his people. I love my family too. But I have committed myself as a man of God. Regardless of what my title is, like I tell people, I'm a man first. And God called me. And because so, amen, I have to do his will. Amen. Amen. So
amen.
I love y'all. Brother, we're going to be back on here to do this again Saturday. Amen. We're going to come back. I'm going to finish these, but I got some more scripts to share with y'all. I'm going to put a bookmark in my book, and we're going to finish this thing up. Now, we're going to ride this thing on out, brother, until Christ returns or until whichever one comes first or until he calls us home. We are believing this year could possibly be the year. Watch the news. Iran has been bombing Iraq. I'm telling y'all, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I'm going to tell you, man, what manner of man or woman you should be at this day and time because Christ is soon to return. He is soon to return. It's going to get worse for the world, not the church. We're good. Because he's going to rapture us out of here. We're going to be caught up, gathered together. The trouble's going to blow before the worst of the worst can even hit this planet. But remember, the Holy Spirit is in control. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit said, no, you can't do that, devil. I don't care what you do, you can't do that. Not while the church is here. Now, when the church is gone and there's nothing but unbelievers here, non-believing people who don't believe in God, have your way. The church is gone. I love you all. Brother, I love you. I'll be in touch with you tomorrow. Amen. We're going to talk some more tomorrow. Amen. We'll be back. I'll be Yahweh's will this upcoming Friday, Sunday. I'll be back. It's feel good to be back preaching the word and ministering to his people. I love you all. Remember, family, you are royalty and I am royalty. And you all have a blessed night. Amen, brother. I'll be listening.
All right. We thank you, Brother Tim, for that inspiration coming from the word of God. We are trying to convince the world, not just locals, trying to convince the world that God himself is going to return back to this earth. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is God. I said Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Christ came. He was born of a Virgin Mary 2,000 years ago. God left his throne in glory, came down here, wrapped himself up in human flesh. And what I mean, he became a man. He had the anatomy of a man, walked like a man, talked like a man, looked like a man, had the masculine like a man. He grew in stature. Man, God became man. That was the only way that God could redeem man back to himself. Only way that he could redeem man back to himself. There was no other way in eternity. From here to eons of the eon, there was no other way God could redeem man and do what? Save him from sin. Save him from what? Save him from the devil. Save his soul from the devil. Why? Because the devil wasn't always the devil. His name written, used to be written in heaven. Lucifer. Lucifer was the anointed cherubim of all cherubims. And he fell from heaven with a determination. Now listen what he had, and I know you heard it before. He had a determination to actually overthrow God Almighty. To overthrow God Almighty. To dethrone the God that made the heavens and the earth and everything therein. Self-existence had no beginning, have no end, always was, always will be, never will cease to be, created Lucifer to be in command of protecting his throne and giving him power to give the angels directing the choir in heaven, and gave him a music ability like no other cherubim have ever had. You talking about music that he had. He would use himself as a music box, and he would direct the billions of angels to give praises to God. And God loved praises. He loved to be praised. He loved to be admired. He loved to be yearned and go after God. Love God. Obey God. And the angels would sing and God would get happy. The angels would sing and Lucifer would direct the choir, and Lucifer would use his music ability to ring the heavens with nothing but heavenly music. Talk to you now. Talk to you about this thing, because this thing is still going on here on earth. And Lucifer, you're going to get enough Lucifer tonight to identify him in the world. Lucifer was known as the most beautiful angel. And what got him in trouble? Listen, what got Lucifer in trouble? Beauty. I'm talking now. I'm talking this from the scriptures. I'm not going to pull out too many scriptures right now. I'm going to talk to you what I've already read. And if you would just be curious and read for yourself, amen, you would see that I'm talking right out of the Bible. And Lucifer decided, because he was so beautiful and so gorgeous, that he deceived himself to make himself believe that beauty has power enough to overthrow the Almighty God. So he came before the throne of God, and he took one third of angels, celestial angels, and took one third to follow him. Modern day terminology, they're called now Hell's Angels. Angels that came from heaven with a hellish attitude. They started in heaven. The rebellion of Lucifer started in heaven. And the rebellion is continuing on till the end of time. The last rebellion that's going to be mentioned in the Bible is called the final Gog and Magog, because there's two Gog and Magog. There's one, which is World War III in Ezekiel, the 8 and 39th chapter. You get that, read that real good. And you'll read one in the 20th chapter of Revelation where the last Gog, and may Gog will mount up again. But let me explain this Gog and Magog that's getting ready to get on board now. This is a continuation of the rebellion in heaven. Because since Satan has got down here, his name has been changed. He's got all those billions of angels that follow him. One-third of the heaven angels follow him. And God cast them to the earth. When he cast them to the earth, it was so devastating that when God created the first heaven and the first earth in the beginning, when Satan fell, he desolated it. He desolated it. He tore it up. And God had to do a recreation, chronological order. Each day, God recreated until he got up to the last creation. And the last thing that was made out of the dust of the ground was Adam and Eve. And God took great high respect to Adam and Eve because they were made after the likeness of God, both in physical stature and in holiness. They were innocent. They didn't know sin. They didn't have no idea what sin was. And God was taking note that they looked like me. They looked like me. They are not no God. They as gods. As God. The Bible don't say nowhere in the Bible that man is God. Man is not God. Man has the ability as God has in the physical realm. He made them after his likeness. And God told them as they put him in the Garden of Eden, because after he had put them in the Garden of Eden, he told them not to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat it, you will surely die. You will be cut off from God. You will be absent from God. You won't know what God is like. And what's wrong with the world today? I tell you what, people don't know what God is like because they don't know God. And if you don't know God, you're under the influence of the rebellion of Satan. Because the only thing Satan can do, the only thing he can do, the only thing he can do is kill, rob, and destroy. What is the world doing today? Look at the world. Look at it. Look at our families. Look at our school. Look at our education institution. Just look at the condition that the human race is in. They're in rebellion. And the rebellion is caused by Satan that was thrown from heaven, took control of the human race, and the human race is in the act of today in rebellion against God. All the world is lost until they meet Jesus. I'll say that again. Every human being that was born lost until they meet Jesus. In the Old Testament, Jesus had not come. And God told the Old Testament saints and priests to use animals as a substitute of a blood sacrifice, because that blood represents atonement for sin. So in the Old Testament, Christ was not used. So they used animal blood to signify a better sacrifice. Good God Almighty. A better sacrifice is to come. Is to come. Because animals can't save a human being. Bullocks can't save a human being. Turtle doves can't save a human being. But it was a type of shadow and a type of an atonement for what? Sin. Only thing that blood could do of animals was to cover sin. Cover sin. All right. I hope you can understand this. Cover sins. But that only lasted for about 3,000 years or more. And by that lasting, it could not redeem man. Can't redeem man. And since it couldn't redeem man, God predestinated before the world began. He knew that if he would give man a test of making the test of obedience, that he would fall. He knew that. And he could not stop it because it would be unfruitful for his wisdom and his knowledge to know what to do, and it wouldn't be necessary for him to have a Savior, which was himself. So he knew long before Adam and Eve was ever created that if he make the image of the human race after likeness of himself, that he would fall. And he predestinated that he would go down and what? Redeem man. Because man has a choice. You got a choice tonight. You got a choice to accept Jesus Christ, and you got a choice to reject Jesus Christ. You cannot accept Jesus Christ off of your works. You cannot accept Jesus Christ off of your looks. You cannot accept Jesus Christ of your status quo. You cannot accept Jesus Christ by your race. You cannot be saved by your race. A Jew cannot be saved by Jesus Christ by his race. A Jew has to be saved just like the Gentile. The Jews was God's chosen people to represent the deity and the power and the sovereign God to the other heathen nations. A heathen nation is the nations that believe in their own gods. There's only one nation on this planet right now that God chose through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the Jews of the modern day Israel. The Jews is God's chosen people for to do what? To represent the power of God and the deity of God and the sovereign of God and the everlasting God, that there's only one living God, one living. The Gentiles had multiple gods. They had God of Dinah, Diana, Artemis. They had the gods of Bullocks. They had the god of Dagon, the god of Baal, the god of Ashtaroth, the god of Moloch. They had all kinds of gods, faith god, god of demons. Demons is known for religion. Demons practice religion, but demons cannot redeem man. Demons cannot save man. Demons cannot what? Demons cannot approach the Almighty God in heaven. Never, never. Satan cannot go to heaven before God's throne. Never. Never will he get back to the throne of God. He cannot be redeemed. He cannot save folks. He cannot love folks. He is what? He's a killer. He's a destroyer. And he's a murderer. And the world is filled with murderers today, killing everything that come in their way, killing babies, killing teenagers, killing the father, killing the mother killing the children. Oh, man, there's so much killing going on today. Dictators killing millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people. Slaughter them. 6 million Jews, 50 million people in wars, 60 million in wars. 60 million babies a year killed by slaughter. Why? He's a killer. He's murdering. He don't give you 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 years. Young women today having babies and then throwing them in the trash can. They're getting abortions. They're mutilating their bodies. They're trying to live without having responsibility. And guess what? The devil say, I'll kill you. because he's a murderer. He's a slow for low down, dirty murderer, and he don't care who you are. And the only one that can reduce the devil to zero factor, the only one that can cast him in hell, the only one that can defeat his purpose, the only one that knows him, the only one that's over him, and that is Jesus Christ, is the only man, God man, that can defeat the devil. Man alone cannot defeat the devil. You can't beat it. You can get all the practice you want. You can go in the gym and try to practice how to whoop him, but you can't whoop him. He's too powerful for mankind, but he's not too powerful for God. The only name that the devil fears, the only name that devil respects. Now, I know some people that are disrespecting Christ today. They'll cuss him out and talk about him and use the Lord's name in vain. They'll put God on it and then put DM on it, in it, and they'll use all kind of slander name of the name of Jesus Christ, but that don't give Satan no power over him. And that name that the devil trembles at is when you say Jesus Christ. He shuts his mouth. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the only one that defeated him. He defeated him completely. Woo! How did God defeat Satan? God defeats Satan when God became flesh, born a child, a son is given. When he came to this earth, he came to this earth for one reason: to defeat Satan once and for all. And that is to die for the sins of the world, go to hell, preach to those in prison, stay in hell for 3 days and three nights, take the keys of death and hell from Satan, come back topside of earth, resurrect his own son himself from the dead, came out of the grave with all power in his hand, and Satan was defeated forever. He never will be Lucifer again. His name will go into infamy. His name has no power to do anything but what? I told you. Kill, rob, and destroy. And keep men separated from God. And he said, I can keep them separated from God as long as they stay away from the cross. If I can keep them from accepting the blood, the sacrifice, the suffering, and the whipping, if I can keep them away from that and get them to deny that he died and rose again, and get them to not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, if I can keep them from that, I got their soul. I got their soul. Because the Bible says, the soul that sin, it shall die. Now, what you mean, preacher? I mean, that soul that sin shall die. That soul from sin, that soul that dies in sin will be separated from God forever. If you don't get no connection with Jesus Christ on this planet, if you don't get your soul saved on this planet, on this side of hell, and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God came down here and died on the Calvary's cross and got up from the grave on his own power and gone back to heaven, and he's been there for 2,000 years, and come back with your soul lost, you are going to die and go to hell without Christ, because Christ will never go to hell again. And his child that have been born again
will never see hell because he's born of God. And whoever's born of God in the spirit cannot sin, cannot sin. What you mean? The soul cannot sin and the spirit cannot sin after Christ comes into your life. But you have other members that you walk around in, and that is your flesh is the only thing that can sin. And when you get saved and sanctified, your soul, your spirit gets sanctified, your soul is saved forever, but yet still you have a war going on in your soul. The flesh is against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So you're warring every day. You're fighting. Not with flesh and blood, but you're fighting the prince power there. Who is the prince power there? Lucifer is the prince power there. He controls the media. He controls people's lives. He controls the government. He controls the whorehouses. He controls the gambling numbers. He controls the lesbianism. He controls the gayism. He controls incest. He controls sodomites. He controls the wickedness of the world. And those that is without Christ is under the influence of the wicked, wicked dragon that's out to destroy your very soul so you can go to hell with it. And that's what the devil wants. He wants you to go. No, it's not. It ain't God. God don't want you to go to hell. No. God ain't never put nobody in hell. You know, that's funny. If God put people in hell, why would he come and die for us? Why would he give up his son? Why would he go through all that suffering? Why would he do all that ridicule? Why would he want to be embarrassed? Why would he want to go to hell and take the keys of hell from the devil and go back to heaven? And 2,000 years he's been gone. Why would he want to do that? For God to speak, and the whole world will go kaboof. It's like a puff of smoke. And God could walk on into eternity and live on forever. But he didn't do that. He knew that if he didn't come down here and die for you. He knew that if you would die without this sacrifice, you would be lost. Where did God put somebody in hell? The only person that can put you in hell is the devil, you, and yourself. Because if you listen to Satan and you get him to believe that Christ is not really God Almighty, and that he really didn't die, and he really is not the Son of God, he's really not the intimacy of God himself in the spirit, because he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All three are one in the Godhead. The Father is co-equal with the Son, and the Son is co-equal with the Holy Ghost. There ain't number one throne in heaven, and God sits on that throne. And in the midst of the throne, Jesus Christ sits on the throne, which is God Almighty, all by himself. Don't need nobody else. God don't need me. I need God. Oh, I need God every day, every minute. Every second, every hour, every split second, every day I need until eternity, I live with him. I live with him in heaven, not by my works, not by my looks, not by my money or status quo, not by my education, but by the blood. Blood. Life is in the blood, and God's blood was in the life in Jesus Christ. And when he shed his blood, he poured out his soul to the world through the blood, gave up his life, that you won't have to be a whoremonger, that you don't have to be an adulterer, that you don't have to lie, cheat, and steal, that you don't have to be a backbiter and a hypocrite. He died until 3 hours on the face of the earth. God had to hide himself from himself. Yeah, don't you understand what I'm talking about? God couldn't look up on himself when his son died. He shut down the son. He couldn't stand it, what they did to his son himself. Oh, yeah. It's a mystery to godliness. And that's a mystery that we will understand it when we see Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. Get this now. God in the flesh. He had a blood system, God's blood. He had veins and capillaries. He had a heartbeat. He had a liver. He had all the anatomy of a man. And he felt like a man. He had no sin. He was perfect. He was sinless. But what happened is he became a what? A sin offering. No more chattels and turtle doves and all kinds of sacrifices of clean animals for the sins of man. God did it once and for all. Ain't no more deaths of Jesus Christ. He's not coming back down here to die no more. Please don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss the love of God. Don't miss the joy. Don't miss the eternal redemption. Don't play with it. Don't fumble around with it and think it ain't going to happen. All this Bible prophecy that's going on today, is biblical prophecy. Everything you see in the Middle East right now, Iran and Israel on the Golan Heights, Gog and Magog war, this war is building up for the next 5 months. It's going to get heavy and heavier. The gas prices are going up. Everybody was worried about the coronavirus, but this year compared to the coronavirus was a picnic because food prices are going to continue to go up. Men are going to be robbing and killing and murdering. And when Jesus Christ removes the church, it's going to get worse because the Holy Ghost is going to step back just enough. It ain't going to leave Earth. It's going to step back because the Holy Ghost is the church. The Holy Spirit has been born again. Through the Holy Spirit, you become not a joint member, but you become an inheritor of eternal life through Christ. You will live forever. You will joy forever. You will never have to face sin and iniquity anymore. And when Christ comes, he said, I'm coming at the close of the age. I'm coming in the last generation. I'm coming in the last 7-year tribulation after the catching away of God's people, then the tribulation will break out on the face of the earth. And I'm coming, and before I come, I'm going to open up 7 seals in the 6th chapter of Revelation. I'm going to open up the 1st seal, and a white horse will appear. Well, the white horse has not appeared yet, but the white horse is on the earth right now. The man that's going to ride the white horse. Now, don't get me wrong. There ain't going to be no horses riding through the heavens that you can see it. It's going to be a symbolic white horse that will ride in Jerusalem. I don't know how he's going to come in Jerusalem, but I'm going to figurative it. I'm going to analog it for you. I'm going to dramatize it for you. The Antichrist will come in Jerusalem. He will come to Jerusalem. The Antichrist today is alive. You hear what I said? I said the Antichrist today is alive. He is exactly, or will be, years old. 53 years old. His name is King Philippe. Look it on YouTube. Go on YouTube and look it up. King Philippe, 6'6". He's married. He's got two daughters. And he's the king of Spain. He's the son of Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos was the king of Spain from 1975 to 2014. He is the father of the Antichrist. He fathered King Philippe. He follows his dad's tracks. And his dad got too old, plus there was a lot of scrutiny going on in his kingship, and he gave the throne to his son. His son is the son of Satan, the son of perdition, which is what? King Philippe. And he ruled Spain from 2014 until this present day. And now Jerusalem and the Jews are looking forward of their Messiah coming, and they believe he's already here. The Jews have already said he is here, and they're waiting for him to come. And he cannot come until the seal is broken. The seal is not broken in Revelation right now because we're still in the church age. But when Jesus Christ blow the trumpet from heaven, the church will be excommunicated from earth, and the church will go to heaven and go there to the judgment seat of Christ, and there will be the beginning of the opening and the breaking of the seventh seal. The first seal that Jesus Christ breaks open, he says, "Behold, I see a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow in his hand, and a crown was given unto him." What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about when the Antichrist comes, he will come on a diplomacy mat. He will come on a peace platform. And the world will be saying, yes, this is what we need, because we're tired of presidents and kings and priests and all these folks talking about they're going to make the world better. And this Antichrist is going to come on a peace platform, and he's going to make peace with Jerusalem and tell them, "I will protect you and the city of Jerusalem for 7 years. 7 years I will give you protection, and I'm going to give you permission to rebuild the temple." And the Jews now are planning to reconstruct the third temple. And the third temple has to be built during the time when the Antichrist arrives. And right now is in the picture of the Jewish nations to relocate the spot that the original temple was built, and they're going to get permission from the Antichrist. And when the Antichrist said, "I will make a seal and a covenant with you to go and do what? I want you to build a temple and offer up the sacrifices that come from the old Judaism and Mosaic law." And the Jews are going to believe that this man is actually Jesus Christ, and he is not the Jesus Christ that died on Calvary's cross. He's the Antichrist. He's anti-God, but he's going to come on a peaceful platform to deceive the people. Woo! Do you know that takes a whole lot of studying and praying to show you in the Bible where he's going to sit in the temple. He's going to sit. Where is that found out where he's going to sit in the temple? Let's go to that. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Apostle Paul talked about this man of sin 2,000 years ago. This man of sin is on the earth now. He's got over 35 names. You can call him Beelzebub. You can call him Satan. You can call him the dragon. You can call him the wicked one. You can call him the son of perdition. He's